Sorry I'm late, but there's still more people coming in. So we'll just wait for everyone to come in and then we can start the meditation session. So I just want to say a few words. Oh, you're going to intro? Okay, you go on, do the intro. I'll have some lunch.
Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome you to tonight's Dharma talk by Pra Ajahn Prom. We are very fortunate to have this opportunity, as Pra Ajahn Prom spared his valuable time to be here for this very event. But first, I would like to tell you a little bit about Pra Ajahn Prom before we begin. Okay. I'll try to keep this very short. He was born in London in 1951. Pra Ajahn Prom regarded himself a Buddhist at the age of 17 after he discovered Buddhism while browsing the wrong bookshelves in a London bookshop. Buddhism, especially meditation, prevented him from wrecking himself through many popular indulgences of the time. After he graduated from Cambridge University in theoretical physics, he ordained as a monk in Bangkok and trained in a forest meditation tradition under renowned Pra Ajahn Chah at Wat Nong Pa Phong, Ubon Ratchathani. In 1983, he was invited to Australia to set up the Bodhinyana Monastery in Serpentine, Western Australia. On the occasion of the 60th anniversary of His Majesty the King accession to the throne, Pra Ajahn Prom was granted the ecclesiastical title of Pra Visuddhi Sangwon Thera on June 10, 2006. He has been a monk for 34 years. Pra Ajahn Prom's speech is often regarded as thoughtful, funny, and enlightening. He has taught timeless Buddhist philosophy around the world to all walks of life, inspired millions by his teaching, conduct, and practice.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, let's get down to business now. Because many of you come here this time to learn some meditation, and many of you are Thais, and being Thais, that you know much about Buddhism. But first of all, I'm going to remind you of basic Buddhism, the Eightfold Path, and especially the second factor of the Eightfold Path is called right thought or right intention. And the Buddha taught that right thought or right intention has three parts to it. Thoughts of letting go, thoughts of kindness, and thoughts of gentleness. Now I mention that because if we don't have the intention of letting go, kindness and gentleness in our meditation, we are not following the basic teachings of Buddhism. Too often when people meditate, they're meditating not with gentleness but with force. They're trying to conquer their mind, or they're trying to control their mind, and they're not being kind to their mind at all. Or they're meditating, trying to get peaceful, which is not letting go. So much of success in meditation is not what you do or what you watch. It's how you do things, how you watch things. And really it doesn't matter whether you watch the breath or you watch Buddha or whatever you do in your meditation. What is most important is how you do it. I just gave this simile a few moments ago. That's why I was late. It's the two ways of meditating. You see this glass of apple juice here. Meditation is trying to make your mind still, to hold it still so it's not wandering around or thinking too much, to get a bit of peace. So if this apple juice, it's not whiskey by the way, it is apple juice, I'm a monk. It's not wine either. So if there's apple juice, if I wanted to keep this absolutely still, I have to really focus and concentrate to hold it still. Those who are sitting in the front row, can you see whether it's still yet or not? It's not. Okay, so what I'll try harder. Is it still yet? I'll try harder. And that's how many people meditate. They try very hard to hold their mind still. And of course, you just get tired that way and frustrated, and you think, I can't meditate. There's a very easy way to keep this glass of apple juice absolutely still. Those in the front row, is it still yet? No, it's not. Come on, open your eyes. It's actually moved more when I put it down. But now, that's absolutely still. Now, do you get the message? The reason why this is now still is because I'm not holding on to it. It's the nature of this apple juice to be still. Only when I hold it does it move. So the reason why people's minds are restless is because they're doing something. You are causing the mind not to be still. So if you try to watch your breath, if you try to make the mind still, if you try to stop the mind thinking, it will just go thinking more and more and more. The trick with meditation is just to learn how to let things be and stop being such a control freak. In the world, you have to do some controlling in your job, your family, in your life. But when you meditate, you actually stop controlling. You become a passenger, not a driver. So if you can imagine yourself just being a passenger in meditation, not a driver, then you get some idea of what meditation is. And someone asked me a very good question just beforehand. How do you know you are doing meditation correctly or you're doing meditation wrongly? Because there are many meditation teachers who come along and say their method is the best. And how can you find out which meditation works and which meditation is wrong meditation? Happiness is one, yeah, but in particular, you all know how to relax the body. You may go into a spa or a jacuzzi or just go into an armchair and lean back and maybe listen to some music. Or you go in your bed at night to rest. Can you know what it's like? Can you feel what it's like when you relax your body? You all know how to relax your body. And you all know what it feels like when your body is relaxed. Now, can you transfer that same intention of relaxing from your body to your mind? And to be able to feel in the same way when your body is relaxed and comfortable and at ease, the same way you can feel when your mind is relaxed and comfortable and at ease, then you know what meditation is. Please come through. Don't bend down too low, otherwise you'll get bad backs. You know, many monks have got bad backs, and many lay people, because they have to bend down so low. Now, when you know how to relax the body and the mind, and you know what it feels like when your mind is relaxed, if when you meditate you get more and more relaxed in your mind, then you are going in the right way of meditation. When the mind is relaxed, it becomes still. When it becomes still, it becomes very happy and very alert and very powerful. And you can become a high achiever because you know how to focus, not through force, but the natural way of letting go. Letting things be. Which is why this meditation is very powerful. And I was just saying, it's taught to CEOs, to every person in a high stress job, like being a monk. Being a monk is a high stress job, you know. People think it's not. I remember talking like this in Singapore about 5 years ago in a big talk with about 3,000 people. And when it came to question time, one guy stood up and said, "It's all very well what you've just said, but you're a monk. It's easy for you. You don't have to work like we have to work in Singapore." I wasn't going to take that. I said, "Sir, this is what I have been doing today." And I got up at 4 o'clock and I would work, talking, teaching, conducting meditation, giving counseling, and that was about 10:30 p.m. and I hadn't stopped all day. When I told him how hard I worked, he stood up again and got to the microphone and said, "That's amazing. I never realized that monks had to work so hard. You know," he told me, "I always wanted to be a monk one day, but not now. I'm going to stick to computer programming." But I do work very hard, but without stress. We know how to do that because of the power of meditation. Learning how to let go. And learning how to be so peaceful by letting go. When it stops, when there's no agitation of the mind, then the energies of the mind get restored. You're not wasting energy. I still remember my teacher Ajahn Chah. I spent 9 years with him when he was still alive and talking and teaching. He said, and I've seen this is from the Buddha, and I know this from my own experience, if you want to have an energetic, fit, strong body, you have to exercise it. But if you want to have a strong, fit, energetic mind, you have to keep it still. If you want to have an energetic, fit, strong, sharp mind, learn how to keep it still. Because in the stillness, the energies come back. Now that's just an introduction to the meditation. I want to practice the meditation for half an hour. But in order for you to do this, I'm going to lead this. And I'm going to do a simple body sweeping meditation here because I'm going to get you to relax. By relaxing your body, I'm going to trick you into relaxing your mind as well. So those of you who wish to, you can follow me as I give this teaching. And the organizers, if there's many, many people, they can please sit in the front as well on the floor because there's a huge amount of space in the front here. And that way you can get closer to the power. It's amazing. I mean, imagine there was like some sort of rock star in front, like Justin Timberlake. All you girls would be right here, you'd be jumping up on the stage. So I don't know why there's this big gap between here. I did have a shower before I just came in. So if you want to sit in the front, well done, sir. Very good. Anyone wants to sit in the front? That's much better, much nicer too. Yeah, come for it. It's also, you know, it's much better as a speaker because you get much more contact with people when they're sitting in the front, sitting down. And you don't have to sit Thai style. Sit comfortably. I'm a Farang monk. Very good. Okay, get yourselves nice and comfortable. Those that actually frees more chairs for the elderly. Here we go, great. Oh, it looks much nicer as well. Okay. Get yourselves nice and comfy. Okay, I'm sure there'll be people coming in, coming out, but don't worry about them. We don't want to control anything. Okay, so when you're ready, you can actually close your eyes. I'm going to meditate this for half an hour. Now with your eyes closed, just get yourselves comfortable. The reason we close our eyes is so our mindfulness, our attention, does not need to be distracted by sights. The sense of sight takes up so much of our mind that we can hardly feel our body. And when we close our eyes, it's like going out from a lit room into the darkness. It takes a while for us to become sensitive to the feelings of our body. Are you comfortable? If you want to move, just move, make it just nice. Now we can begin. I want you to be aware of any sensations you're experiencing in your toes. If you can't feel any sensations there, just wiggle your toes to connect your mind to that furthest part of your body. See if you can pick up any sensation in your toes. As soon as you've picked up a sensation, your mind has connected with that part of your body. And once you've connected with a sensation in your toes, send kindness along that connection and relax your toes. And feel the sensation change slightly. You're deliberately relaxing a single part of your body. You should start to pick up the sensation in your toes becoming more comfortable. It's a simple feedback mechanism of knowing a part of your body, relaxing it, and feeling it get more comfortable. So the toes feel at ease. Now move your attention to your feet. The soles of the feet, the uppers, the bones, everything inside that area of the body, your feet. Can you pick up a feeling or a sensation there? See if you can know that sensation. Just any sensation will do. Once you pick up a feeling there, that's called connecting. Then be kind to that part of the body. To relax all the muscles, the skin, the blood vessels, even the bones. As if you can imagine your feet sinking into the softest of cushions. To relax to the max. Until you can feel the feet becoming comfortable, easy, almost tingling with a sense of the maximum comfort you can manage for your feet. And once the feet are comfortable, move your attention up to your lower legs, your calves. Those calves have done so much work that the muscles are very easy to feel a slight ache there. Or a feeling of heat or cold or tingling on the skin. Whatever sensation you can feel in your lower legs, be mindful of it. Connect your attention there. And then be kind. Be compassionate to your lower legs. To relax them as much as you possibly can. Imagine them sinking with no tightness or tension. And even the bones, feel them relax.
Open up. My microphone is relaxed now. Open. Have the bones and the muscles relax in your lower legs.
Until the lower legs feel so peaceful and relaxed. And then move your attention to your knees. Many people have pain, aches, problems in their knees these days. Can you pick up any sensation whatsoever from your knees? Notice it, connect with it. And relax that sensation. Doing whatever it takes to bring feelings of comfort, relaxation, and ease to your knees. until the whole lower legs feel as if they're just floating in warm water, easing any aches and pains, relaxing, becoming more and more peaceful. Now move your attention up to your thighs. Can you notice any sensation whatsoever in your thighs? Any sensation will do, because that connects your mindfulness there. And then send kindness to your thighs, deliberately, intentionally relaxing them. If there's any pain there, you can imagine your thighs in a casing twice the size, twice as wide, twice as deep. And your thighs, imagining them expanding into that casing. Because when we expand things, they relax. Thinking, calming, easing. Any sensation in your thighs? And you move your attention now up to your bottom, pressed against the seat or the floor. It's very easy to pick up a sensation there. Be kind to that sensation. See if you can relax it. Create a greater sense of ease in your bottom. Your whole lower body relaxing. As you move up to your waist, and not just the surface of the waist, but the bones and the backbone, and also the colon. Many people have digestive problems. Sometimes it's very easy to pick up feelings there. Notice that feeling and learn how to relax it. For those of you who have indigestion or even colon cancer, this is a magnificent, effective method of healing. Mindfulness together with kindness is an amazing, potent combination. So if you have a feeling in that area of the body, notice it and relax it. Expand the tension, release the tightness, and feel the whole area around the waist and inside is becoming more at ease, more calm, more peaceful. Feeling good. Now we're sweeping the attention up the body as we go up the spine and also connecting to the organs inside. If you have any problem with the liver or with the kidney or even the intestines above the colon, notice any feelings there at all. Any sensations which you can pick up, and be kind to them. It's almost giving something quality time and attention and kindness, which means the whole part of the body just above the waist, including the organs of kidney and liver, start to relax. Start to feel at ease. All tightness, all hard, painful spots or aches, expanding, expanding, getting more comfortable, more at ease. When you feel at ease, you sweep the body higher, sweep the attention higher, to the middle of your body, or your torso. Your lungs, if you're a woman, your breasts. Many women these days suffer from breast cancer. If you feel any sensations in that area of your body, notice them, connect to them, and relax that part of the body by sending kindness. Most cancers start with tightness and tensions, which if not relaxed can create these terrible diseases. By being mindful, by being kind, by relaxing, you're sending positive energy to that part of the body. The lungs relax. Everything feels easy and comfortable. Tingling with the pleasure of relaxation. Bring the attention a little higher to your heart. And maybe the backbone as well, if there's an injury there. If you can notice any sensation there, be kind to it. See if you can deliberately relax the heart. When we notice something, we notice also when we intend this way or intend that way, how it affects that part of the body. We learn how to relax sometimes just by trial and error, or by watching the feedback mechanism, until we even know how to relax our own heart. You feel it, and you feel it soften and get more peaceful, more gentle, more at ease. As you go a little bit higher to your shoulders, can you notice any sensations in your shoulders? They carry a lot of tightness from our day. Deliberately relax the muscles in your shoulders till they feel so comfortable, so at ease. Just in the same when you're lying in bed in the early morning, having just woken up, and you don't want to get out of bed because you're so comfortable. See if you can get the same comfort in your shoulders right now. Being mindful, being kind, and relaxing. Now go down your arms, your upper arms first of all. By now you should have become quite at ease and skillful at finding sensations to connect you to each part of your body. Whatever sensation you can notice in your upper arm, use that as a conduit for kindness. To relax, relax, relax. Until you feel the sensation of ease in the upper arms. Tingling, warm, comfortable. Similar to the feeling, as I said, when you wake up in the morning in bed. Fully relaxing the upper arms. And then move to your elbow. Sometimes we don't even notice any sensations in our elbow until it hurts too much. But there is a sensation there. Pick up any feelings in your elbows. Send compassion there and relax them. Before you go to your forearms, noticing sensations and feelings, sending kindness to them, and relaxing even the muscles in your forearms and the bones, the blood vessels, the ligaments, everything. You can feel the forearm get more at ease, more relaxed. And now you go to your hands. The reason why we fidget our hands so much is very rarely are our hands comfortable. And the hands are so easy to find sensations. Notice the sensations in your hands and deliberately give them relaxation. Relaxing, relaxing. And to leave it in your hands, feel they're just like floating in warm, salty water. With no effort, no tightness, no tension at all. And keep on that intention of relaxation. Until the hands, they tingle. They feel just so nice, so at ease, so comfortable. So at peace. Your whole arms are all relaxed. Deliberately. Now go up the arms again, past your shoulders to your neck. Notice any sensations in your neck or your throat even. If you feel a sensation there, just be kind to it. Relax it. In the same way that your mother might have stroked your hair when you were tense as a young child to calm you and send you to sleep. The same way you send that beautiful, kind, compassionate, relaxing message to any feeling in your throat. To learn how to relax the muscles, the esophagus, everything in the throat until it feels good. Then move your attention up to the muscles in your own face. Again, it's very easy to notice sensations in your face. There's a lot of nerve endings there. Once you pick up any sensation in the muscles of your face, deliberately relax them. And relax them some more. And relax them even more. You can feel the sensations, mindfully being kind and relaxing. Until the face was so calm, so free of any tightness or tension. Relaxing, 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 relaxing. Just an inch or two behind your face is your brain. Doctors tell me there are no sensations, no physical feelings inside the brain, but just imagine your brain now. And imagine a sensation there. The tiredness, the ache, as if your brain has been bruised by all the work it's had to do. And deliberately relax your brain. Imagine all the tightness and tension and worry and fear and guilt and anger all being soothed. In the same way you relax your body, you relax your brain. And you feel it becoming calmer, softer, freer, as if your own brain has now got a chance, because you're being kind to it, to be free, to be at peace. Now your whole body, from the toes to the top, fully relaxed. At the same time, you've been in the present moment, focusing, not thinking, because I've been taking all your attention onto your body. This is the first stage of meditation. You feel that peace. You've relaxed the body. Now, relax your mind. All this thinking and feeling in your mind, for your past and future and present. Be kind. Be gentle. And feel your mind relaxing as much as you possibly can. And after feeling the breath, after feeling the breath, then you can just calm the breath down. And by calming it, just the same way you relax the body, you learn now how to relax the breath. Breathe nicely. And when the breath relaxes, just like the body, it becomes very pleasant. And when it's very pleasant, you don't need to run away anywhere. So you just stay with the breath. It's just so nice to stay with the breath. When you just rest with the breath, and it's just so nice and easy and peaceful, and you're so relaxed, you have some of the most peaceful, beautiful feelings you ever have. Because you're relaxed, you're at peace, energy starts to flow into your mindfulness. You wake up. You become more alert. Like the lights in your mind are starting to be turned up in their power. Which is why I coined the word power mindfulness. It's like you just had 2 cups of coffee. Strong. You have the energy without the shakes. In other words, you're focused, but all that energy is there for you. And those of you who like your coffee know that you are much happier after your cup of coffee in the morning than before. I know that some people, it's a waste of time talking to them before they've had their first cup of coffee in the morning. In the same way, once you get energy flowing into your mind, it gets happier and happier. And happier. And that solves a lot of problems in life. People who do meditation retreats, they always notice that the food on the meditation retreats tastes much more delicious than at any other time. You know why? Nothing to do with the cook. Nothing to do with the food. Everything to do with your mind. You're more aware and alert of all the tastes in that food. If you realize this, the next time you go out to an expensive restaurant, please meditate for 30 minutes beforehand to get your money's worth. It tastes much better. But not only that. If you send your husbands or boyfriends to a meditation retreat, their mindfulness gets so bright that when they go home, their girlfriend or their wife looks much more beautiful afterwards. And it's true, your husband is much more hunky. Because what you can see more. And you see more of the beauty. This classic story of meditation is one of the best similes which I have. It's in my book. My monastery, where I live in Australia, is on top of a hill. For 9 years, I've been going up and down that hill, to and fro from my monastery, in a car. I don't know why it was, but one morning, it was a spring morning, a beautiful day, I had time, I asked the driver of the car, "Let me out at the bottom of the hill, I want to walk up." So it's only about 2.5 kilometers, it takes about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, not that long. So when I started walking up this hill, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I could not recognize that hill where I'd gone up and down for 9 years. It looked totally different. And I couldn't understand what was happening. And then I stopped. I stood still. And the scenery changed again. And I had to figure out what's going on. Being a scientist became quite clear what was happening. When I was looking through the window of a speeding car, the light which hit the back of my eye on the retina to form the image which I would see hadn't time to form a proper image before I had to move on to the next one and the next one and the next one. The images which came into my eye through looking through a window of a speeding car came too fast to fully form. Which meant I could not see much detail. And the colors were not fully formed. It was actually like pastel. In other words, washed out. But when I went slower, in other words, I got out of the car and started walking, my eye had more time to receive all of the light, get more information, more images, and more color. That's why when I walked, when I went slower, I saw much more, and what I saw was richer in color. But when I stopped, wow, I saw rocks I'd never seen before. Lichen on those rocks. Grasses, little flowers, textures in the hillside, which I had not noticed for 9 years. Why could I do that? Because my eye had time to form a proper image and the mind had time to explore that image. So I saw more detail. And the surprising thing was what I saw was far more beautiful than I'd ever seen through a window of a speeding car. It was a delightful hillside when I stopped. That simile sums up what meditation is. Too many of you live your life like sitting in a speeding car looking out of the window at life. And you think you know what life is. Really, what you see is only a fraction of the detail. When you slow down, you see more detail. When you stop, you see just how beautiful this life is. Surprising. That's why the slower you go, the more beautiful your wife looks. So you don't need to go to Elizabeth Arden, you need to go to Ajahn Brahm instead. And the more happy life looks. Strange thing, the happiness is part of the nature of the mind. The faster we go, the less happiness we have. The slower we go, the more joy we find. Which is why when you learn how to meditate properly, you get bliss upon bliss upon bliss. Which is the title of this evening's talk. So I just led into that talk. Is there any more introductions? I said just go for it. No, because I've taken a break. Sorry? Yeah? Oh dear, do the audience want a break? Does anyone want a 5 minute toilet break? Okay, so I was going to say let it go, but please don't let it go in here. Okay. So again, if anyone is coming in late, you can please come in the front over here. There's plenty of space on the floor here. And I know that sometimes people say that it's rude to point your feet at a monk, but you have full permission today. If you have full permission, then it's okay. So I got to you before some of the other people got to you and told you off. So keep it comfortable, okay? Because you don't offend me by doing this, especially as a Westerner. Sometimes your feet get tired or they ache. And compassion is much more important than just some of the rituals which we keep. Compassion is most important. Kindness.